Amateur Radio Newsline report number 1940 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Ham radio is first responder as cyclone batters India coastline. Russian over the horizon battering the 15-meter band. United Kingdom full license class holders get temporary access to more spectrum on 2 meters. Ham radio moon orbiter to launch on October 23rd. And guess what's keeping a radio relay station in Hawaii from being repaired? Find out the details on Amateur Radio Newsline report number 1940, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first and only independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, here is Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
When Cyclone Hudhud swept into the Bay of Bengal, coastal areas of India, on Sunday, October 12th, disaster authorities had already called on radio amateurs to provide communications where they knew the other types would likely be lost. And the ham radio community was ready, as we hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Before Cyclone Hudhud made landfall, authorities in India realized that communications could be lost in coastal areas that the storm might hit. In such a scenario, amateur radio will become the only medium for the government to coordinate relief operations and exchange critical messages between government bodies, the two states, and also with New Delhi. So, a few days in advance, it put out a call via the nation's Institute of Amateur Radio for radio amateurs trained in rescue radio efforts to be ready if needed. As it turned out, they were. Cyclone Hudhud made landfall with winds up to 125 miles per hour, damaging buildings, power systems, and causing a total loss of communications in many areas. Cell phone systems were overloaded quickly and soon failed. Media reports blame the storm for at least 20 deaths. That's where ham radio stepped in. Jehu Bahidi, VU2JAU, is India's national coordinator for disaster communication. According to Bahidi, at airtime, there are currently 6 hams in the Odisha region, working to maintain the communications covering the entire state. VU2JAU said that VU3UFX, VU3PLP and VU2AOR are active from the Bhuvaneshwar area. In the same Belpur region, VU2DPI is in control of a network with VU2SIC and VU2PGU. These stations and others have been on air using 7.140 MHz and have kept their stations open 24 hours a day. In the Andhra coastal area, all communications is handled by the National Institute of Amateur Radio, under control of VU2JAU from the Amateur Radio Society of India. He is reported to be monitoring emergency traffic from his home station in Gwalior. A complete damage assessment, cleanup from the storm, and the return of normal lines of communications is likely to take several more days. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meacham, said L2BHF, down under in Nelson, New Zealand.
Another one of those times when ham radio truly was a life-saving first responder before, during, and after a severe weather event. The IRU Region 1 Monitoring System newsletter reports a Russian high-power over-the-horizon radar system, centered around 21 megahertz, recently affected the entire 15-meter band. Added to this, a Russian voice scrambler nicknamed Yakta has been transmitting daily on 21.0 megahertz on USB voice encryption that also contains a frequency shift keyed synchro signal with a 100 baud rate and 150 hertz shift. That transmitter's location is believed to be at Nizhny Tagil. Meantime, a spurious emission from Voice of Iran is also causing interference on 21.249 MHz. An in-depth report, including charts compiled by DK2OM, can be found at tinyurl.com/K3NSKK8. Some hams in the United Kingdom will get temporary access to an extra portion of the 2-meter band. This as a part of a planned long-term overall restructuring of the VHF spectrum from 143 to 169 megahertz, Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has the details.
Ofcom published a statement that included an intention to release 1 megahertz of additional spectrum to the radio amateurs on the 2-meter band on a temporary basis. The frequencies from 146 to 147 megs will be available via a notice of variation to full license holders only. Applications for NOVs can be made via the RSGB website from the end of October. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH in Nottingham in the UK.
The temporary use decision came as a part of an Ofcom published statement setting out plans for the release and reallocation of spectrum returned to civil use by emergency services. Ofcom believes this band space will be of most interest to business radio users, such as utility and construction companies. As such, it will be made available on a first-come, first-served basis through a managed and gradual approach. This in order to maintain maximum flexibility in the future should new demands emerge. The South African Radio League has submitted its response to the draft plan concerning the restructuring of the 450 to 470 MHz band and other UHF spectrum parcels. In its reply to the National Telecommunications Regulatory Agency, the SARL said that although the amateur service is not in this band, the problem for ham radio would arise if the intended migration of some existing users in the 450 to 470 MHz range were to temporarily move into the amateur band prior to them shifting to a new frequency band once they obtain suitable equipment. The South African Radio League also pointed out that the statement that amateurs use only 1 MHz of the 430 to 440 MHz is incorrect. Rather, the entire frequency block is used extensively for terrestrial and space communications. The South African Radio League also filed comments on proposed changes at 2.3 GHz and requested a new ham radio allocation from 3.4 to 3.410 GHz. In both ITU Region 2 and Region 3, this spectrum parcel is allocated to the amateur and amateur satellite services. The 4MLXS Ham Radio Moon Mission now has a definite launch date, as we hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
The launch of China's Chang'e 4 mission, carrying the 4MLXS moon-orbiting ham radio payload, is expected to take place on Thursday, October 23rd, from the Xicheng Satellite Launch Center. According to China's State Administration of Science, Technology, and Industry for National Defense, the soon-to-fly craft is a backup probe of Chang'e 3. This was the nation's first moon lander and rover, which successfully touched down on Earth's nearest neighbor in December of 2013. But Chang'e 4's job is not to land, but instead to circle the moon. More important, it is hoped that the capsule will return its payload safely to Earth without burning up in the atmosphere during descent to our home planet. As previously reported, the onboard amateur radio payload will transmit a JT65B signal on 145.99 MHz, which can be decoded by radio amateurs here on Earth using the free WSJT software. Its builder, LuxSpace, is encouraging radio amateurs around the world to receive the transmissions and to send in data. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD in Berwick, Pennsylvania.
Complete details on the role of amateur radio can be found beginning on page 14 at tinyurl.com/lux-space-moon. The file is in PDF format. The Dominica National Telecommunications Regulator, NTRC, has granted hams on the island nation the ability to operate on 5 3-kilohertz wide channels on the 5 megahertz or 60 meter band. These are 5330.5, 5346.5, 5355.5, 5371.5, and 5403.5 kilohertz at 50 watts peak envelope power using only SSB. This allocation is applicable to Dominica General and Advanced licensees only. The Commonwealth of Dominica is an island nation in the Lesser Antilles region of the Caribbean Sea. It is located south-southeast of Guadeloupe and northwest of Martinique. It's also known as the Nature Isle of the Caribbean for its unspoiled natural beauty. And lest we forget to mention, please note that the new Dominica 5 MHz allocation should not be confused with that of the Dominican Republic, which also has a 60-meter allocation. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the N2XPM repeater, serving the Big Apple of New York City, New York.
Beep. I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, with news that hams on both sides of the nation are on the lookout for some pretty severe weather events. In the Caribbean and along the eastern seaboard, the Hurricane Watch Net was activated on October 16th to follow the track of Hurricane Gonzalo, which at airtime is a Category 4 storm headed toward Bermuda, packing sustained winds of up to 145 miles an hour. The Bermuda Weather Service issued a statement that these winds were expected to buffet the island for more than 24 hours, and seas would rapidly be building up to 35 feet on Friday, October 17th. As this report is being prepared, the Hurricane WatchNet is expected to be using 14.325 MHz and 7.268 MHz. Please keep these frequencies clear of non-hurricane traffic until the emergency is declared to be over. Meantime, in the Pacific, hams on the island state of Hawaii are on alert as Tropical Storm Anna is forecast to pass as a potentially Category 1 hurricane. According to meteorologist Dan Kotalski, southern parts of the Big Island and Kauai are at the greatest risk of flooding from rain and tropical storm force winds. Bob Schneider, AH6J, is the league's Pacific section manager. He was quoted in the ARL letter as saying that he expected to deploy handmade equipment kits to several schools. The handmade kits, which contain both HF and VHF gear, were sent to Hawaii in September as a lava flow was threatening communities on the Big Island. On Thursday, October 16th, Anna was located 490 miles southeast of Hilo, Hawaii, and had sustained winds of 60 miles an hour. It was moving west at 10 miles an hour. A tropical storm watch was posted for the Big Island by the Central Pacific Hurricane Center, and it is expected to reach the islands on Saturday, October 18th. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. I'm in the newsroom in Los Angeles.
The FCC is scheduled to hold an open meeting as this newscast goes to air on October 17th. Among the topics that were scheduled for discussion was a presentation regarding an inquiry into a major 911 service outage that affected seven states this past April. The presentation was to include findings from a report on the causes and effects of the outage. The panel was also to look at recommendations on actions that the industry, state governments, and the commission can take to strengthen the reliability and resiliency of 911 services as the nation transitions to what's being titled the next generation of 911. Additionally, the commission was to consider a notice of inquiry to explore innovative developments in the use of spectrum above 24 gigahertz for mobile wireless services. It also will look into how the regulatory agency can facilitate the development and deployment of those technologies. In an October 9th post at the FCC website, special counsel to the chairman, Diane Cornell, noted that the Enforcement Bureau has largely completed its review of its pending complaints, leading to almost 700 license renewals granted within the past few weeks. At the same time, the Media Bureau disposed of 55 competition rulings requests dealing with a March omnibus ruling. Simultaneously, the Consumer and Governmental Affairs Bureau has so far closed over 760 dockets, with another 750 on track to be completed by year's end. If you have a device running Apple's new iOS 8 operating system, you can now add an app that will permit sending Morse code from that unit. Morse code telegraph keyboard plugs directly into your iPhone's keyboard and lets you send dots and dashes from right within iMessage or your favorite email. The most interesting feature of the keyboard app is its relative lack of keys. It only includes the bare essentials of a J38-looking key and a handy Morse code alphabet and numbers guide. If you want to give it a try, Morse code telegraph keyboard is available for only 99 cents at the App Store. Something new for your ears, courtesy of Bob Heil, K9EID of Heil Sound. This as he introduces his new Pro 7 headset that applies some of the knowledge Bob gained from audio engineering pioneer Paul Klipsch back in the early 1970s. The new Pro 7 earphones feature a unique electrical and mechanical design that uses a very specialized tuned headphone enclosure that Bob says really eliminates usual distortion while producing greater sensitivity and a gorgeous response. Also included in the design is a balance control that's usually absent from most headsets. On the microphone boom, you can get either a newly developed dynamic that is as articulate as the original Heil HC5, Also available is an Electret capsule for the early low-level input ICOM rigs. These mic elements are interchangeable in the field. For more on the new Pro 7 headset and other of Bob's inventive products, go to heilsound.com/amateur and click on the photo of the headsets you'll see at the top of the page. Some names in the news. AMSAT North America has announced that Barry Baines, WD4ASW, will hold forth as the organization's president for the 2014 through 2015 operating year. Others appointed include Alan Biddle, WA4SCA, as the organization's secretary, with Keith Baker, KB1SF, as treasurer. Frank Bauer, KA3HDO, has been appointed as vice president of human spaceflight operations. Jerry Buxton, N0JY, as vice president of engineering. Drew Glassbrenner, KO4MA, as its vice president of operations. And Joanne Mainpah, K9JKM, as the vice president of user services. E. Mike McCardle, KC8YLD, will be serving as the Vice President of Educational Relations, with Martha Saragovitz continuing as manager. Positions not yet filled are Executive Vice President and Vice President of Marketing. The career of Steve Herman, W7VOA, is the subject of an interesting interview appearing in the current issue of the Overseas Press Club of America newsletter. In it, Herman, who serves as the voice of America's Southeast Asia Bureau Chief and its correspondent, answers questions about his education, how he got started as a news journalist, the languages he speaks, and much more. You can read the article in full at tinyurl.com/Steve-Herman-W7VOA. Tyne Bronjic, S50A, who is the chairman of the next World Radio Sport Team Championship Sanctioning Committee, has announced that Germany has been chosen as the site of the 2018 WRTC Games. Specifically, the event will be hosted by an oversight organization made up of the German National Amateur Radio Society, DARC, the Bavarian Contest Club, and Rhein-Ruhr DX Association. According to S50A, the German application was very well prepared, and knowing their combined experience, another outstanding competition among the world's best contesters is expected 4 years from now. A website has been set up to provide further details at www.wrtc2018.de. According to a posting on Facebook, QSL cards for the recent K6H Hollywood Celebrates Ham Radio operating event have arrived from the printers and forwarded to the California-based Papa System for distribution. The event was held on September 28th and originated from the historic Stage 9 of the CBS Studio Center facility in Studio City, California. Stage 9 is currently the home of ABC's hit TV show Last Man Standing. In the past, it has been the production facility for such shows as Seinfeld and Spin City, to mention only two. If you worked this special event station, please QSL direct to the Papa System address found at qrz.com/db/K6H. There is no other mailing address or electronic QSL service associated with this event. We find it hard to believe, but this past week, the number of subscribers to Amateur Radio Newsline's page on Facebook broke the 5,000 mark and currently stands at 5,026. According to the page's chief moderator, James Pasterfield, KB7TBT, the lucky 5,000th member is David Zuretta, IZ1WWW, of Novara, Italy. If you are on Facebook but not signed up for our page, there is a convenient link to it from our website at arnewsline.org. We would love to have you there. In the meantime, our sincere thanks to KB7TBT, who originated the page, and all the other moderators who keep it running smoothly and have made it the success that it appears to have become. This is Ham Radio News for today's Radio Amateur. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, with links to the world from our only official website at arnewsline.org, and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following Radio Amateur. Hawaii Public Radio says its signal to parts of Kauai and Oahu will be out until further notice because of endangered tree snails. Amateur Radio Newsline's Bruce Tennant K6PZW reports.
According to the broadcaster, recent storms knocked out power lines to the radio station's relay facility at the summit of Mount Kauai. Relay transmitters beaming signals to the east and south sides of Kauai as well as to Oahu's north shore. And a separate microwave relay also sending signals to KIPL 89.9 in Lahu. Station generators carried the signal for several days but ran out of fuel on September 30th. Normally the power company would have been able to fix the electrical line with little delay, but not this time. That's because the location where the required repair is needed has been identified as the habitat of an endangered species of tree snails that are currently in mating season. For now, listeners on Kauai and the North Shore are asked to tune in via live internet streaming using Hawaii Public Radio free mobile app or to cable broadcasts. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bruce Tennant, K6PZW in Los Angeles.
At airtime, there is no word when the snail's mating season will end and the power line can be repaired. You may find this next item a bit strange, but apparently it's true. And depending on how you look at it, it can be funny, scary, or a little of both. Here's WIA newsman Graham Kemp, VK4BB, with the details.
For the first time ever, there are now more gadgets in the world than there are human beings, including a growing number that only communicate with other machines. The number of active mobile devices and human beings crossed over somewhere around the 7.19 billion mark. Gadgets like tablets, smartphones, and not-so-smartphones are multiplying five times faster than we are, with our population growing at a rate of about 2 people per second, or 1.2% annually.
For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB, of the WIA News in Australia.
Can't help but wonder if this might not be author George Orwell's novel 1984 on the verge of coming to pass here in 2014. NASA's Mars Atmosphere and Volatile Evolution, or MAVEN orbiter, has yet to begin its formal science mission, but it is already radioing back clear images and crucial data about the fourth planet's upper atmosphere. The spacecraft entered orbit around Mars September 21st. Only 9 days later, it imaged a coronal mass ejection from the sun's surface. The early observations are already providing scientists with hints as to how the red planet's atmosphere changed over time. MAVEN's official mission will begin sometime in November, once final adjustments are made to the orbiter's science instruments. Its long-range purpose is to conduct a study of the Mars upper atmosphere to determine how it transitions from a habitable planet to the cold and dry world it is today. Scientists think that maybe billions of years ago that a warm Mars would have been able to sustain liquid water in which microbial life could develop. An in-depth look at the overall mission can be found at tinyurl.com/maven-at-mars. John Pape, K8YSE, reports his satellite grid expedition trip has come to an end on October 1st, and he is now signing as K8YSE-7 from Mesa, Arizona. According to Pape, he operated in 27 different grids, most of them very rare. States covered during his trip included South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, Washington, Oregon, Utah, Nevada, and Arizona, while driving over 7,300 miles in 27 days. A computer-controlled ICOM 910H was used on the linear satellites, and a Kenwood V7A was used for communications through the SO50 FM bird. Aero antennas were used for all contacts. QSL information is on QRZ.com. In DX, JH3PRR is reported to be on the air using the call KH8B from Pago Pago and will be there through October 27th. Activity is on 160 through 10 meters. QSL via JH3PRR, preferably using Logbook of the World. By the time you hear this, N7OU should be operating as E51NOU from Rarotonga in the South Cook Islands. He plans to be there through November 9th, operating 60 through 10 meters in his spare time, using only CW. QSL direct via N7OU. F6ICX will be active as 5R8IC from St. Marie Island between November 3rd and December 12th. Operation will be holiday style on all HF bands, operating mainly CW with some SSB, RIDI, and PSK63. QSL via his home call sign, as listed on QRZ.com. Logs will be uploaded to ClubLog and Logbook of the World. DK9PY will be operational as 6Y6N from Jamaica between November 26th and December 17th. Activity will be holiday style on the high frequency bands using a Yaesu FT857 into an inverted L antenna. QSL via his home call sign, direct, or via the Bureau. G3RWF is heading back to Southern Africa for a 5-week holiday. He will begin operation in Lesotho as 7P8NH between December 11th through the 14th. Listen for him on the higher bands on CW only. QSL via G3RWF. Lastly, CE5WQO will be active stroke CE0Z stroke CE5WQO from Juan Fernandez Island between November 19th through the 27th. This will be a holiday-style operation using CW, SSB, and the digital modes on 160 through 10 meters. QSL via KA3LKM with 2 international reply coupons. And finally, the weekend of October 10th to the 12th saw the unofficial end of the 2014 major ham radio convention season with the holding of the 2014 PacificCon convention in Santa Clara, California. According to Gordon West, WB6NOA, who was one of this year's presenters, accolades go to the sponsors of this year's event.
What a great job the Mount Diablo Amateur Radio Club and other volunteers did in pulling it off. It was a 3-day deal on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Saturday was the big day with lots happening throughout the Santa Clara Marriott Convention Center.
On Friday afternoon, as well as all day Saturday and half a Sunday, the exhibit hall opened. And let me tell you, who's who with ham radio was there in the exhibit hall, and all of the majors were there, all of the up-and-comings were there. And the booth was absolutely filled throughout the entire day.
As to attendance, so far there are no official numbers, but if the flea market was any indication, then the numbers had to be strong.
I knew it was going to be big when I saw the swap meet going on in the dead of dark on Saturday morning. Probably about 2,000, 2,400, and they were all with smiles.
WB6NOA also reports an overflow attendance at popular digital radio seminar tracks such as SDR, D-Star, and DMR. West also says a Sunday morning Ham Radio 101 track for brand new hams was a big help to get new licensees on the air over the local Baynet repeater systems and other local open repeaters. Perhaps the biggest surprise came with the announcement that PacificCon 2015 is moving a couple of miles away to the San Ramon Marriott in San Ramon, California. Next year's dates are October 16th through the 18th. If you have a suggestion to help make next year's event even better, let the planners know by email to info@pacificcon.org. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, RAIN, the RSGB, the South African Radio League, the Southgate News, Twit TV, Australia's WIA News, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, at the editor's desk, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, coming to you from my new QTH in Topeka, Kansas, saying 7-3, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2014, all rights reserved.